Something from the end of next week's set. If we started with the beginning of last week's set, so we'll go to the end of next week's set. It says, let's read you some psukim, and you'll see right away what the problem is. The Torah speaks about the Tower of Babel. So it describes it like this. Everybody spoke one language and had one common idea. They were all united in an idea. When they started to leave Gan Eden, the physical Gan Eden, where Adam was thrown out in the east, they found a valley, in Eretz Shinar, in the land of Babel, in Babylonia, which is basically Iraq. So we're talking now that they came to Iraq and they settled there. And then they came up with the following idea. They said one to the other, Hava Nilban Oladanim, let's make bricks. The Nisrapa the Sreifa, and we will burn these bricks in a kiln and make them really strong bricks. Batihilohem Aladain Alaadin, and the bricks became stone. Bahachemer Hayolahem Lachoma. And the, the mortar became clay. Okay, so they had a great idea. Let's make bricks. Next puzzle. Vayomru. Then they have another idea. Havanibdalanuir. We have all these bricks. Let's build a city. And a tower that goes into the heavens. What's wrong with these people? They're out of order. No normal person says, hey, let's make bricks. For what? I don't know, but let's make bricks. Then we got all these bricks. What do we do with them? Oh, let's build a city. Usually it works the other way. Let's build a city. Okay, now we need building materials. Let's make bricks. You don't first get all excited about making materials and then decide what you're going to do with them. You first have a plan, and then you make the materials to fulfill the plan. Here it was almost the opposite. Let's make bricks, and now that we have the bricks, let's build a city and a tower. The the Midrashim say that these people wanted to separate God from the world. They wanted to make a war against God. They weren't fools. They didn't think they could make off a tower and fight God with swords. What they wanted to do intellectually is be independent of God and run the world themselves, which today people do constantly. It's the whole idea of technology and science in a godless world is that we're in control. We can control the weather. We can control disease. We basically are in control, and God is out of the picture. God's out of the picture. We are the ones that control our own destiny. I once saw a quote from a doctor in Miami years ago. This is before AIDS. He said that given enough time and enough money, with the emphasis on money, there is nothing that modern medicine, there's no disease that modern medicine can't have. It's just a matter of time and money. It's absurd. We don't even know of certain diseases. And it's just a matter of we're in control. We are not subservient to God. God doesn't run the world. Basically, the world is just forces that if we want to, we can control. Given enough money, enough time, we control our destiny. We control the world. They deny that there's any power beyond it. That is a godless world where technology and science become the god. And we live in a world like that. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to create a tower that they would be able to harness the powers of nature with tremendous technology. There's even an opinion that says that this opinion was written in the 1700s, that Migdal Babel, the Tower of Babel, was a rocket launching platform to go into outer space. 1700s. The Gaon of St. Hagius wrote that. So, meaning we want to conquer all the powers of the world and be in control. And we don't need a god. God's not in control anymore. And therefore, what do they want to do? They wanted to replace God's part with their part. Building materials that are God's part. building materials that are God's part is stone. Bricks are man-made. They are artificial. What they said is, we want to create our own building blocks. We don't want to be dependent on God. We don't want stone. We want bricks. And the bricks will be our stone. Our artificial things will take the place of the real thing. And we live in a world like that. You can get up in the morning, right, and put on shoes that look like leather, but they aren't leather, right? You can sit at a table that looks like wood that's really plastic. You can drink what appears to be orange juice and has no oranges in it at all. And everything is artificial, man-made. And we have supplanted, not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's something wrong with it when you think that what man makes, right, supplants what God makes. God wants us to be partners with him in creation. It says, Asher bara Elokim la'asos. We always quote the Medrash. Tunis Rufus HaRosha once asked Rabbi Akiva, what's better, what God makes or what man makes? He expected Rabbi Akiva, of course, to say, what God makes is better than what man makes. And then he would say, then we, Goyim, are better than you Jews, because we are the way God made us, uncircumcised, and you're the way Amol made you, circumcised. So we're God made, you're man made. Rabbi Akiva surprised him, and he said, of course what man makes is better than what God makes. She said, how could that be? He said, very simple. You're going home to eat lunch. Your wife makes cake and bread. God made wheat, which is better. The cake and bread is for sure better than the wheat. What's the idea? The idea is that God created a unfinished, imperfect world. And he wants us to be his partners in perfecting it. That's our job. Perfect the world. Develop it. Right? Complete it. Complete yourselves. You were created imperfect. You have to perfect yourself. That's the whole idea of Bris Milah. Perfect yourself. Perfect the world. I want you to be my partner. But don't think that you're replacing me. You're working within the framework that I gave you. If you understand that, then Asher bara Elokim, God created the framework, lasos, that man should complete it, perfect it, finish it, develop it. What does it say over here? What did they do? It says they wanted not to work within the framework and do their part and enhance what God made. They wanted to take over and deny that God's any part in this. It's all ours, all man-made. It's all man-controlled. And the Torah says, v'zeh hachilom la'asos. The simple meaning is, this is what they all speak the same language, they all have the same idea, and this is what got them started. Hachilom. And for the word tehillah, beginning, this began them to do what they wanted to do. But there's another way of learning those words. Hachilam can come from the word lechalel, to desecrate. Ze hachilam la'asos. God said la'asos. Asher bar Elokim la'asos. I want you to be dynamic. I want you to be my partners in creation. I want you to develop the world. But you've desecrated that. Because you've taken what I've given you to develop and perfect the world, and you've supplanted me. You're not working within the framework I gave you, but you think that you're taking my place. In that way, you desecrated the lasos. I gave you a lasos, zehachilom lasos. So God scattered them, made that they won't be able to get together anymore, and therefore man can't control the world, because they're too busy fighting with each other, right, and causing destruction in the world. So they can't even think that they're taking the place of God. God still is the one who's obviously in charge. But that was what Migdal Babel is, and it's very, very relevant today. There's a good portion of the world today worships technology, science, which is man's control over nature to the point where we don't believe in God anymore. We just believe in powers that we can control. And we don't believe that there's anything controlling us. It's just a matter of time and money and wisdom, and we can control the world. And that's absurd. And it's every once in a while that a bubble reminds me. I remember when the space shuttle blew up. And that, you know, the one that took off in a few minutes. At that point, there was a feeling in the world that we're not in control. You know, science can't make all the answers. And it didn't take too long for for them to discover the problem was a gasket that was faulty. And then they made a statement that, well, now that we know the problem, it'll never happen again. As if the only thing that could go wrong with a space shuttle was one gasket. And now they know that gasket's going to be okay. There's nothing else could go wrong. There's nothing else that could go wrong. And the next time it'll be something else. It's, you're not in control. They understood that. I think Reagan was the president then. He made a very, very fine, I think it was him, a speech at the beginning, of a humble speech of, you know, that we're not in control. It didn't take long, though, for the scientists to say that, okay, now we know what the problem is. Now we're in control again. Nothing will never happen again because now we're going to have good gaskets. It's absurd. But that's the way people are. But that's the lesson of the Big Dunbar.